Kevin O'Connor is a national basketball writer with TheRinger.com. Kevin O'Connor joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Kevin, thanks so much for doing this morning.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
All right, I'm going to ask you this now. I don't think we know what Masai Ujiri necessarily means by culture reset, but one of the things we took away from the news conference yesterday was that he wants DeMar DeRozan and Jonas Valanciunas to learn how to shoot three-pointers. I mean, that was a pretty clear takeaway. My question to you is, you know, we're not in DeMar DeRozan's case, I'm not talking a 20-year-old kid out of college. We're talking a guy who's an established three-time NBA All-Star.
Who's been pretty successful playing his game his way.
He's been very successful with the mid-range game. And, Kevin, I got to ask you, I don't know if he can shoot threes. I mean, I just don't know if he can shoot threes.
It'll be fascinating to see what happens if he does. Because, you know, I pulled up the numbers recently, guys, and, you know, from 5 to 19 feet on the floor, he shoots about 45%. Like, he's consistent with those floaters to those deep mid-range shots that he takes. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, whether it's three-point range or like 20-plus feet from two-point range, he's around 28% on shots. So there's like a steep drop-off for him. If he can manage to just slightly extend his range, even if he becomes a guy who toes the three-point line when he shoots and isn't someone who like fires away from really deep like a Steph Curry type, that's unrealistic. But if he can become a guy that shoots 34% from three, which isn't good, but it's average, then I think you're doing pretty well. But right now, at the level he is, the reason why he's not taking those shots is because it's not worth it. It's not statistically worth more value than the mid-range jumper is. He needs to extend for that to even work, whether it's off the dribble or off the catch. He needs to extend. That's really one of the big keys.
You know, Kevin Garnett suggested that they just blow the Raptors up and essentially start over. Which
I'm with KG.
Yeah, and you know, he sugarcoated it as he normally does. But you know, when Masai Ujiri was asked pretty clearly yesterday if one of the options in front of him was sort of, you know, rebuilding, he was quite clear in that yes, that is one of the options. It's one of the options he's going to present to management. He didn't indicate that he's going to try to sell him on it. But I'll ask you: look, LeBron James isn't going anywhere, and if he goes anywhere, you know, in the next 4 or 5 years, who knows? It could still be in the East. What do you do if you're the Raptors right now?
So the article I wrote in March, you know, it's kind of focused on the ringer.com in March. There's something about, you know, should the Raptors blow it up,
right?
You know, to be good, that, you know, they might have to take a step to be great. They might have to take a step back, and, you know, kind of, it wasn't necessarily suggesting that yes, they definitely need to hit the reset button this summer. They need to trade everybody away. It was kind of, you know, I think the middle ground that I kind of get the impression that Masai Ujiri alluded to yesterday is that they can have improvement come from within. DeRozan can theoretically become a great three-point shooter. It could happen, theoretically. You know, they could make a move this summer, a tweak that improves their roster and brings them closer to Cleveland, or even gives them, you know, a significantly better chance. That could happen, and I think their roster is so good that maybe the best route is to bring as many guys back as you think you should. I don't know if that's all of them, but as many as that makes sense. And then go into the season, and you know what? It's possible your team looks a hell of a lot better. It's possible it looks the same. It's possible it looks worse. And all my argument is that for this roster, blowing it up and trading these guys away before they're too old, before their value diminishes too much, that needs to be on the mind of, I think, everybody in the organization, in my opinion.
And that includes DeMar. That includes DeMar, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And that's hard to say because this is the best era in Raptors history, really, right? But I just think some teams, you know, look historically, when they trade away their star players, they wait too long. And I think the Raptors are at a point now where they could potentially maximize value for those guys before it's too late. That's just, I feel like they've maxed out realistically,
so
what they can be.
Kevin, what, you know, so you'd be blowing up a 50-win team, and, you know, if you double down, I guess if you double down with that team, you're saying, okay, maybe LeBron gets hit by a bus or something happens, but you're, you know, it's still a 50-win team. Going that other route, blowing this team up, what's that going to look like?
Could look a lot of different ways. I mean, it's possible that the Raptors or any other team for that matter could do it the Sixers route with a tank a couple years, but I think that's extreme. I don't think it has to be like that. I think the Raptors have they have so they have I think an older top end of the core, like, you know, Lowry's in his 30s, Tucker, Ibaka, guys who are getting up in their late 20s or early 30s. They have those guys, but the back of their roster is really young. They have a lot of, you know, quality young players that can play. Mm-hmm. We saw Norman Powell more than anybody else can offer I think help, whether it's, you know, an additional role if they did do a roster reset, or off the bench like he does now, or occasionally in the starting lineup. Jonas Valanciunas was still in his low to mid-20s as well. So they have young talent that I think that would allow them to remain competitive. Those are the guys you keep. And I think the key thing really for me is kind of taking that Boston Celtics approach in a way, which took a lot of luck in a sense with the picks that they have. But they did try to remain competitive because mm-hmm. they had picks coming from other teams. So if the Raptors, you know, had a young roster, brought in young players, and Norman Powell was starting, and he was like your best offensive player next to Valanciunas, you could compete, I think. You're not going to be a bottom-of-the-barrel team while you're just hoping that those draft picks that you get from other teams, that those are what really bring in that star player for you. There's so many different approaches, but it's really unpredictable, though.
You know, one of the things that, and Kevin, you can probably speak to this better than I can, but the way analytics have developed in basketball now, you know, is there a way to use analytics to overcome I'm not going to say talent gap, but a skill gap? In other words, the Raptors don't shoot enough for threes. We know that. Their best three-point shooter, Kyle Lowry, is a guy who may not be back. Theoretically, their second best three-point shooter, Serge Ibaka, may not be coming back. Is there a way analytically you can address that situation?
I think the analytics movement is fascinating in that sense, because, you know, we can see it's simple to realize like three more means more than two, right?
Sure.
But I think from the, you know, to really simplify it down from a mathematical standpoint, like, you get the same points per possession on a 30% three-point shot as you do from a 45% deep mid-range shot, because 45 times 2 is 0.9, mm-hmm. and 30 times 3 is 0.9 as well, so it's equal. So, really, that's, you know, that brings it back to DeRozan, and where he doesn't need to become a great three-point shooter for it to be worth more. If he can become average, suddenly
right.
that's an uptick in offensive efficiency for the Raptors. All that adds up over the course of the season if that's what he becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so I think from that standpoint, from a player development standpoint, yeah, maybe use analytics to talk to your players and say, hey, we need you to develop this, and this is why. You know, other teams are doing this. I don't know if you would use the math in discussions with players, but I think it certainly does play a factor in how you want to help develop these players and become modern in the sense that that's how you need to play to win in today's NBA. You need to be able to shoot threes, and I think Masai Ujiri's comments yesterday show that that's what they want to do, whether it's bringing in new players or developing the players to do that internally.
Kevin, if they decide to stay the course, you know, how much of a risk is it not just that you can't beat Cleveland, but that you fall farther behind Boston, you slide behind Washington, you slide behind Milwaukee or Miami, that you actually, rather than treading water, you actually start to sink?
That's a great point. That's something, you know, I thought about yesterday listening to Ujiri, in a sense, is that it's not just Cleveland. But there's other teams in the East who are rising, and it's important that Toronto not stay where they're at. Like, they still need to get better too. So mm-hmm. if you are someone who thinks that they've maxed out, that's going to be concerning, because the Celtics and the Wizards, the Bucks, those teams you listed, even the Sixers, if Embiid stayed healthy, those teams are rising. They're rising fast too. And whereas the Raptors, they can get better too, theoretically. But I just think, realistically, they're close to their ceiling. And that's really just where I get concerned with locking yourself into the roster the way it is in the long term if they brought everybody back. That's really where my concern comes from.